Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a Cuban party, man.
Yeah, brother, like, dig it. Stop right on.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. How you doing, Sam?
I'm doing all right, Earl. Can't complain. It's getting warmer.
Yeah, it's getting warm. It's going to really be nice this weekend, and I did what I keep doing far too much in the morning, putting my canister with water on my front seat and not securing the top. And then by the time I get to where I'm going, all the water is in my seat.
So, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I got to, you know.
Not warm enough for the water park yet.
Well,
now.
They say if you know better, you should do better. Well, I should know better. I'm not doing better.
It's harder. It's easier said than done, I'd say.
Yeah. Well, let me do this. My guest should be on the line, right?
Not yet.
Okay. So, all right. So, I was expecting Mr. Al Holmes, and I guess he'll be joining us soon. But I've got a couple things I want to talk about. Let me begin with this. I don't get it. You know, have you ever seen, you know, parents with children on a leash?
I have seen some leash kids, and they're usually a little crazy, but the leash is usually pretty cute, at least, right?
I mean, you know, I've had children. They're adults now. But I just have never, I think that's crazy. I mean, if you have to put your child on a leash, I mean, what is that saying? And I get it. You know, there's some high-spirited children out here. And I guess part of this is kind of a fun thing, right? But I don't understand that. I don't understand parents who put their children on leashes and let them wander, you know, just so far, and then you pull a leash and the child comes back. You know, I think parents who do that are missing out on the training that you need to do to get your child to, I was going to say obey, but if I say obey, you know, today somebody might say, well, yeah, it's the wrong thing to say. I just think that when you put your child on a leash, you know, whether you think it's cute or not, I just think there's something wrong with that. And I know I've never done it, you know, never will do it. And I hear it's because, as you stated, that there's some children that are kind of terrors.
Yeah, but honestly, I feel like my generation is stepping into parenthood and we're seeing a lot of lazy parents, like, period. With, you know, my generation would rather be on their phone and post cute pictures and, you know, not necessarily pay attention to the child. And, you know, it's an easy way. I would say a leash is an easy way to not necessarily pay attention as much. You know, you can wander only so far, like you said.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what that's teaching the child, as far as, you know, what the child should be doing, and how the child learns limitations. Well, I guess you can say the child learns limitations by the leash, but I mean, I could see you doing that for animals, but for children, I don't think that's. A thing that we should be doing. And again, my mom had and dad had 13 of us, and there were no leashes. But you knew that this is what you should do, because you learned that through, you know, discipline. You know, let's just think about the development of a child. You know, the child is, you know, crawling. You know, when it begins to crawl, you know, you don't have to teach it to crawl. The child inquisitively learns that, you know, things around them, I want to investigate. So the child learns how to crawl. The child crawls around and eventually will pull himself or herself up on tables and mess with things that are all on the tables and break things and those kind of things. And the response to that, you know, had always been, you know, a smack on the hand, you know, and to teach the child discipline, not to, you know, put a child on a rope, but again, it's, what is that thing called?
A leash.
A leash. Well, think about that. And so by, you know, maybe the people don't realize, and I'm sure they don't, that, you know, they're probably going to be causing some difficulty in the development of a child, because they don't put a leash on somebody 3 or 4 years old, because, you know, the child 3 or 4 years old is a little bit older, a little bit stronger, and you're not going to be snatching them back. But it's always the really young children who are walking for the first time. So I just think that, you know, I was looking at this article and it just really made me stop and think, you know, what's different about children today than when I had children? And so this article, my toddler wears a leash. Here's what it taught me about parenthood. Now, you know, I knew in my bones that I would never leash a child of mine up like a labradoodle. The first time I saw a toddler on a leash, I was 8 years old and out for a stroll with my family. How do you remember that at 8 years old? I don't know, but anyway. We were hoping to catch a parade in the center of town, and plenty of other parents had the same ideas. The streets were full of youngsters who had been lured out with promises of floats and marching bands playing songs. In the throng of attendees, my mom and dad located another family they knew. While the adults exchanged pleasantries, I caught sight of their two-year-old's tether. It blew my mind. "Excuse me, is that a leash?" I asked, scandalized to see friends of mine's, of my parents, treating their offspring like a dog. Their response was casual, if a little defensive. "Yes, it's her leash. She'll run away if we don't use it." Now, you know, you gotta focus on your children when we're out and about and doing things. It's always been that way. You know, I know things are different today from the standpoint, all the technology and all, like you said, all those other things, people are focused on their phones and whatnot. But all that stuff has to come second to your focus on your child. I just think 844-967-2789. I think it certainly, you say your generation, but I, you know, there are folks before your generation that were doing this.
Definitely. And honestly, like the article said that you just read, I feel like everyone, not obviously not everyone, because people are doing it, but like you do, you look at it with that judgment. Like, what are you doing? That is not a dog.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it can't be, well, if I don't leash my child, the child will run away. Well,
chase after your child.
Yeah. I mean, no, well, teach your child not to run away when they're young, you know. And, you know, how did the rest of us get through the development of our children without leashes? You know, we are making things in the society, changing things so much and making things a lot more easy for parents. But in the long run, I don't think it's a good thing. You know, develop the relationship with your children when they're young and babies, and get them to do the right things while they're young. Because, again, I know that my mom definitely, with 13 children, and we were like a year apart, didn't have any problems with us running off, right? You knew that this is where you were going to be, and mom was not going to chase you. So, you know, and maybe, you know, it's, people will say it's cute. Oh, that's cute. You see the baby on a leash? What? On a leash? Anyway, I just think we get to a point where we must look at all these things again and see if we can. And we can do better. All right, got to go to break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, Sam, I've been talking about it for the last couple of weeks, and that's COVID. And it is coming back with a vengeance across the nation. And there are people who are just not accepting it. It's like, okay, we don't care about that. We've been through that. We don't want to deal with that. We're going to move on with our lives. And Milwaukee Public Schools on yesterday was the first day that they were able to do away with the mask. And they came right back. Based on, again, what they are seeing with the number of people who are contracting a virus, COVID, and one day later have put the mask back in place. One day later, I was at school yesterday, one of the schools yesterday, and noticed people did not have their mask on, and everybody was having a great time. And then I turn around yesterday evening and find out that the masks are back. The policy, the same thing with the transit, the buses, all of those things. They're putting back the masks in different states. Those are coming back. And I don't know, you know, how can you be mad? The schools didn't create this new spread. The states didn't create the new spread. It's there. It's a reality. It's happening. And so because of the fact that COVID is back, never really left, and is broadening. What are people supposed to do? Are we supposed to totally ignore it and say, well, we're tired of that. We don't want to deal with that anymore, because that's what so many people are saying. Far too many people are cavalierly dismissing this. And we see that it's on the rise, especially in the state. And in Wisconsin, Wisconsin's one of those states where it is really starting to show up again. And then you have to ask the questions. I thought that they said when it got warmer, we would not have to deal with COVID. You know, well, this disputes all of that. It's not like it's gotten completely warm, but, you know, we're back. It's back. And it's right at a time when all of these different events are scheduled during the summer, during the spring, and people are going to ignore them. Last night, there was a major concert in the city of Milwaukee. A young lady who, I forget her name.
Olivia Rodrigo.
Yeah. For those of us who don't know, who, you know, won some Grammys, and the people sat outside, you know, over 24 hours. That's how popular a person this young lady is. And they packed the house. You know, we do know that COVID is back. And I can guarantee you those young people did not wear a mask. And so, I mean, I can't say that right now that I blame them. You know, people want to be free of this. But it's not about whether you want to be free. It's about whether or not we want to be safe, and that we want to do things in a safe manner so we don't wind up with what we've been dealing with the last 2 years. You know, we can't act as though, you know, that people upset because, you know, the airlines didn't think it was time to pull off the mask. Well, now, you know, people are going to pull the mask off, and now the airlines and others are saying, hey, wait a minute. And so people are angry. They're upset. I get it. But stop acting like children. You're adults. Do what's in the best interest of all of us, not what's in the best interest of each one of you. You know, you don't want to wear a mask, and a place says you have to wear a mask, then you don't get access to it. To me, it's that simple. And it's got nothing to do with Democrat, Republican, any of that. It's got to do with what makes sense. You know, yeah, well, you know, it's not as bad as it was. Well, it may not be. This strain may not be as bad as it was, but it's still a strain that we don't know right now, you know, what the impact of it is going to be. I really, for the life of me, I don't understand it. Well, not as many people are dying. So okay, may not be as many people dying. Well, we'll just take the risk. Okay, so you want to take the risk, and society then has to take the risk along with those of you who want to take the risk. I don't think the government should be able to tell me that I need to do this, and so leave me alone. You know, COVID. You know, the mandate that is happening for these airlines and people flying, it's just going to be that simple, just like it was before. If you want to fly, you got to wear a mask. You don't want to wear a mask, you're not going to be able to fly. It's, you know, you don't have control over everything. And so that's what they're doing in the interest of the masses of us. And as individuals, you don't have the right. I've always said, as an individual, your rights don't supersede the rights of the masses of us. And so the more we hear the whining and the complaining about we're tired of this, it's time to move on, you know, the federal judge in Florida struck down the mask mandates. He doesn't care about whether or not, in the face of watching COVID expand. And we know, I mean, the woman, her name is Catherine Kimball Mazzelli, and she's a Trump appointee, but we get caught up in the politics. And so, well, Joe Biden is a Democrat, and the Democrats said it, so we're going to overturn it because we don't want, we're Republicans, and we don't want anybody to interfere with our rights. That's crazy. You know, I just hope that things don't get, we can tell where they're headed. You don't have to be, again, a person who is the brightest person to understand this is going to spread. It's spreading now. And maybe we need to do something to prevent it spread. And whatever that is, if it means wearing masks, so be it. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, as someone who is about, you know, in a very short period of time, about to reach 70 years of age, if I'm blessed to make it there, you know, I don't look at myself as a geriatric, but I guess I am and will be. You know, can a geriatric person, 70 years old, you know, or more, still do jobs and still work and those kinds of things? My answer would be yes, depending on what the job is. But should people in their 70s and 80s and 90s still be running our country? The answer to that is no. And I was watching Meet the Press's Chuck Todd over the weekend, and he was talking about Democrats and the leadership of the Democratic Party. And, you know, and he talked about, you know, Chuck Schumer, he's the youngest. Dick Durbin, both are over 70. You know, you've got, you know, Joe Biden, 80 years old. There's nobody in the real leadership of the Democratic Party nationally in the most powerful positions that's under 70 other than Kamala Harris. And does that matter? Yeah, I think it does. I think when we're talking about a nation that is in technology that's advancing and the way we look at the future and younger people whose world it is now and not ours, you know, my generation. Yeah, there's something wrong when you're 70 and 80. And you are running the United States government. You have had your time, and you are looking at the world through a different prism than the younger people who are going to have to deal with decisions that are being made by people of my generation. You know, I'm not, again, saying that everybody, I mean, look at Nancy Pelosi, 80 years old. 82 years old. Bernie Sanders, 82 years old. Dianne Feinstein, 80. You know, Steny Hoyer, in their 70s. You know, Jim Clyburn in the 70s. You know, Mitch McConnell, 80 years old. Chuck Grassley, 88. Richard Shelby, 87. I mean, come on. You know, at some point in time, you've got to realize, when I was a young person, that used to be what we saw with Russia. Russia had all these old people who were in leadership, Leonard Brezhnev and others, and we used to watch it and say, man, they got all these old people in Russia, and Russia can't get out of that old thought process. You know, and you know, we had much younger leaders. And when I finally saw the change in that was when Ronald Reagan came into office, and Russia finally changed, and Russia brought in, I think it's Brezhnev, Leonard Brezhnev, a younger man who saw things in a different way and decided to dismantle the USSR. But that's, we've got to look at that. And who's going to change that? That has to change. And the problem with it is people who are in those leadership positions today, the chances of them voting that this in and saying there should be an age limitation, that's not going to happen. We've got to get to a point where I don't care how smart you are or how much information, how much knowledge you have of how the government works and all those things. You know, 75 years old, 70, you know, you might be able to still handle some of those things at 70. But 80 and above, just too old. I mean, it is, you know. I I'm at my age, I can't begin to even see myself in my 80s trying to run the United States government. That's more than anybody should ask. You know, as much as I forget things now, at 67, can you imagine 82, 85 Congress people, senators? That's part of the problem in our government. And it's not giving and opening opportunities for people to come in younger who have not been, you know, bought off. You know, many of these people have been in those positions of leadership for such a long period of time that they, you know, the lobbyists know them far too well, and they're making deals, both Democrat and Republican. This is not just an issue for Democrats. Republicans are the same way. But how do you begin to change that? Well, we're at a point in the society where that needs to happen. Somewhere along the line, that needs to change. And people who you shouldn't be able to die in office, you know, because if you've done that, or if you are going to hang around until you die, you're not serving the people. You can't, not to the fullest of your capacity, because your capacity is diminished in your 70s and your 80s. And it's part of where the problems lie. I mean, Senator Feinstein, I remember her as I was a young man growing up, a sharp woman. Should she still be there at 88 years old? No, she should not. Somebody should convince her, or should have convinced her, you know, two terms ago. Senators, what, get 6 years? Two terms ago that it was time for her to leave, you know. And yet nobody convinced her. Chuck Grassley, 88 years old from Iowa. You know, Richard Shelby, 87 years old. I remember what was the guy? Robert Byrd almost made it to 100 years old. He was still in the Senate. What was the other guy's name? Richard Lugar and others. Who do we have on the line?
Al's calling in from Milwaukee.
Hey, Al, what's going on, man?
I have mixed feelings about what you just said.
You said what?
I said I have mixed feelings about what you just said.
Okay, so...
About age of some of our leaders, you know, in the village, the elders have to lead, but you also have to have mentorship to bring people in at an early age to replace people. But the problem we have is the mentorship. We don't have anyone mentoring younger people to come into these positions, and we're not open to new ideas because that cuts off somebody's paycheck.
But Al, when you're in your, I mean, these senators are 85, 86, 87, 88 years old. I mean, you know, come on, man. You know, that.
I have a birthday coming up, and I'll be 29 again.
Hey, Al, 88. Listen to this. Chuck Grassley is 88. Richard Shelby is 87. You know.
I have a birthday coming up, and I'll be 29 again.
You aren't a United States Senator, you know, and so people say, and again, you and I have had conversations, Al, before about these kinds of things and about young people coming in, but I think at the height of our government, you know, the most powerful positions in our government, we shouldn't all be geriatric.
I'm agreeing with you.
I know. You know.
Of some of these people, because when the younger people come in without the mentorship, generally that creates more chaos than trying to deal with the older people who are trying to sustain.
Well, you need to turn your radio down because you're getting feedback and echo.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but that's all right. So you and I have had conversations over and over about we know young people who come in thinking they know it all and don't want to learn anything from the elders. And, yes, that's a major issue, a major problem. We see it in the city of Milwaukee and everywhere else, people who are in these positions of leadership who come in with a question mark on their face. And they should have a question mark on their face because they haven't been there. The problem is getting them to listen.
That's the key right there.
Right.
That's the key because right now our common council is in chaos because they don't know how to listen. And everybody thinks they know it all and nothing is being accomplished.
Yeah, and
the
county
board, I don't even know who's on the board anymore.
Well, it's
just a matter of they're so disconnected from the people that they serve. We don't know what the heck's going on.
No, it's true. And you are right that on these local levels, you know, I don't know. That turns over. We don't have all the people 70 years old, 80 years old. You know, you might have one approaching 70, but we don't. That turns over. We're talking about on a United States government's level where people are in their 70s and 80s and almost approaching 90. Al, we got to go to break. Hold on.
Take care.
Al, hang on.
I got a class to teach.
Okay. All right. We got to go to break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. So, you know, it's certainly a discussion that warrants being had, and that's when do you get to a point where, you know, maybe it, you know, there needs to be a time limit set on these positions. I mean, does it make sense that people, you know, in these important positions get to hold on to them, you know, until they die? You know, people can say, and they, you know, well, you know, these people are elected, and if they keep getting elected, whose fault is it that they keep getting elected, right? I mean, what do you want them to do? Well, stop running. If you get to a point where you know that, you certainly are not mentally up to the grind that happens and the positions and decisions that have to be made that impact and affect the entire world, because that's what Congress and Senate people do, make decisions that impact the entire world. Should there, and the question really is, should there be an age limit? Should that be put in place to you know, prevent what we know continues to be a problem? The median age of members of Congress is 60, while the median age of U.S. citizens is 39. So you think about that. The median age of citizens in this nation is 39, and yet Congress is almost twice that age. We are really a young nation. 39 is still relatively young. The age limit issue of elected federal officials came back into conversation this week after California lawmakers spoke to the San Francisco Chronicle on the condition that the source not be identified in order to share what was described as a jarring experience with Senator Feinstein, in which she allegedly repeated conversations during a policy meeting. I have worked with her for a long time and long enough to know what she was like just a few years ago, always in command, always in charge, on top of the details, basically couldn't resist a conversation where she was driving some bill or some idea. All of that is gone, the lawmaker said of the 88-year-old. She was an intellectual and political force not long ago, and that's why my encounter with her was so jarring, because there was just no trace of that. Three other senators were quoted in this article sharing similar concerns. So if they see that, you know, and I know that there's no provision to say or to move them out now, but if you see that with one of the most powerful people on earth, you can't just say, well, she just got reelected, we'll deal with that 5 years from now. Yeah, and I know that was, again, going back to some old Democratic and Republican senators that went into they were there for until they were 100 years old. And so they died as United States senators. That's just unacceptable, and that provision is still there today. Dianne Feinstein is one who, at 88, as long as she keeps running, she's going to keep getting elected, because there is no rule that says she can't. And we're at a point now where that's got to change. Now, like I said, when you're talking about local races and things like that, you know, you don't see people in their 80s. You don't see people in their 70s for the most part. That's an exception. If you go to the legislature, there are not a whole lot of people sitting there who are 70 and 80 years old. That turns over. Why shouldn't that turn over on the national level, when the national level is clearly one of the most important levels of all of this? So I will say, looking at the president of the United States, Joe Biden. I remember Joe Biden. When Joe Biden was a sharp, sharp guy. I mean, Joe Biden could debate anybody. I remember him as a United States senator, quick-witted. And so you see him today, and, you know, he's 80 years old. He'll be soon to be 80 years old. That's not the guy who I used to see 20 years ago. But yet he's the president of the United States. He's still got 3 years or 2.5 years in this term. And then possibly he's even talking about another 4 years. He's going to be running. And, you know, we got to get to a point whether you like the person or not. All of these things have to change. They must change. And at some point in time, the only way that they can change is if we have the conversations about it and continue to talk about it and continue to raise the questions about time, age limits, and even time limits. You know, you shouldn't be a senator for 30 years. Yeah, you mean to tell me you can't find somebody in 30 years? Excuse me, to replace a person as a senator or as a congressperson? Well, they've been a congressperson for 30 years. Well, that's crazy. So what's really at the root of this is a system that doesn't allow people to challenge, people because money, again, is the root of all of it. The people who have those people in positions of power, certainly, you know, you and I vote, but behind our vote is the fact that there are folk with money, who are controlling all of those things. So, listen, we've got to go to a break. Oh, okay. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, I'll be joined by my guests. You've been tuned in. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back.